From KQED Public Radio, this is the Capital Notes podcast for Friday, May 14th. I'm John Myers from KQED, and this podcast is coming to you late today on this Friday after the governor's revised budget was released, and late for reasons you would understand. The governor's announcement came mid-afternoon, followed by response from Democrats, lawmakers, interest groups. And then, of course, there are a whole lot of people to update and stories to write for radio and the internet and on and on and on. So our apologies for getting it to you a little bit late. Also, not the same normal give-and-take banter between myself and Capital Weekly's Anthony York, as again, where schedules have been condensed today to get this down. But I did want to get a podcast out to you with a few thoughts, and I want to let you hear Governor Schwarzenegger's comments, especially his Q&A, a brief Q&A with the Capitol Press Corps, and then a few comments from the Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg. And, of course, we will revisit all of these issues both next week on the podcast and on through the summer, it looks like. But clearly, you know, the headlines are out there. You've probably seen them by now that you're listening to this. A $19 billion deficit, the governor says, over the next 14 months. About two-thirds of his solution through reductions in spending, less spending for the state. $2.8 billion less for public schools over the next 14 months. About $3.5 billion less for health and human services. The complete elimination of the welfare-to-work program known as CalWORKs. $1.5 billion less on subsidized child care for the working poor, mental health services cut on the local level, a 5% cut in state worker pay through this thing called a day of personal leave, which in reality is kind of forced personal leave. And we're told that that'll apply across the entire state workforce, including public safety officials, law enforcement like CHP, prison guards, people whose salaries don't come out of the general fund. That doesn't matter, according to one of the governor's budget advisors before the revised budget press conference today. But anyway, so we've got all of these things going on. The governor spent about 18 minutes up on stage first describing the problem and his solutions. And then, as I said, taking only four questions from the press. You'll hear those here. The first one, you may recognize the voice. It's me. And what I wanted to know was trying to get the governor to explain what his budget values are, because at the beginning of the event today on Friday, Schwarzenegger said that, you know, budgets need to reflect someone's, you know, the state's values. And you hear that from a lot of different groups around California. But the values in this budget, and this is what I was trying to ask him about, and you'll hear how it went. The values seem to say that, you know, it's preferable to cut a lot of social programs when you don't have money than it is to look at revenues, whether it's tax increases or eliminating tax breaks for businesses, which he was asked a lot about today. And that's not to say that I, as a journalist, think one is better than the other, but you know, trying to get the governor to elaborate on what that means to him and why he picked one versus the other. I don't think it was much of a direct answer, but, you know, there'll be other times to answer that question. So next you're going to hear the governor's comments to reporters about this budget, and then we'll come back.
We live in the best state and the best country in the world. There's no two ways about it. Californians deserve a better system. So let's commit to get this done, Democrats and Republicans alike, and I can promise you that I will do everything that I can in order to get this problem solved. Thank you very much. And now, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask.
If I could ask you just a broad question to begin with. You said at the beginning of your presentation that a budget reflects the values, and I believe probably of the state, but specifically of you, maybe in this particular case. Could you talk about those values? Because there are going to be people right outside this door who say your values are more about businesses, corporate tax breaks, things like that, than they are parts of the social safety net which you are proposing to cut?
My values are to have a budget system in place that works, to have a tax system in place that is fair and that works and that is stable, and to go and bring the economy back as quickly as possible and to create the jobs which will create the extra revenue so that we can afford all of those programs so it reflects our values. That is the important thing. What we have to do is we have to fix. What do you see here? You see capital gains taxes going up, then they fall, then they go up, and then they fall, and they go up again. So that's what I'm talking about, the roller coaster ride. We can avoid that. We do not have to be in a position that we're in today if we would have fixed the broken system. But as I've said earlier, and I'm not here to beat up on the legislature, but the fact of the matter is I have proposed that so many times. I have begged the legislator to act, to do budget reform, to do tax reform. The tax commission, the bipartisan tax commission, came in last year in October. We still haven't heard and didn't even touch the whole thing. And we got to go and reform our pension system, because we can't continue on to have the rise like just in CalPERS from $150 million to $3 billion over a period of 10 years. That is crowding out other programs. So those are the things that need to be fixed. And we are in a situation, as I said, that we have seen the perfect storm. We were hit by everything. But like I said, judges' decisions, by the federal government not paying up the bill, by economic crisis, by shortfall of revenues, by the pension situation, all of those kind of things we were hit with. And so we have not really passed the stress test. We know that our systems don't work. So let's fix those broken systems. That is the most important thing. That's where my value is.
Governor,
yes?
Every politician in Sacramento would say they are for more funding for higher education. But given that you're proposing the elimination of CalWORKs, food and rent for children, and deciding to delay tax reductions for business, how can you justify that choice? How can you justify raising money for higher ed, increasing the funds?
Well, I think that our priority is obviously to go and have as much funding as possible. But because of the economy being down and because of our failed budget system and tax system, we don't have enough revenues to be able to afford all those programs. So we had to make severe cuts. And as you know, and you look at the education, they have really experienced severe cuts in these last 2 years. And also in higher education, the fees went up by 40%. So this is everyone across the board has been hit here in these last 3 years. And so, as I said, it is painful to make those cuts. It is painful for me and for, I think, our entire team and cabinet secretaries and everyone in the Capitol that we have to make those, create those eliminations of certain programs. But we're forced to do it. And I see very clearly the faces behind those numbers. I know how many people are suffering out there and how painful this is going to be. But this is just, it's not the only state that goes through these problems. There's other states that go through that, not that it makes it easier for our state, and other countries go through it. You see what's happening in Greece, you see what's happening in Ireland, you see what's happening in Spain now, and everyone has to go and look at it and say, we got to go and come to the realization that we can't continue spending money and promise people things that we can't keep. That's all the revenues we have. Let's not forget, when you look at the baseline revenues this year, you will see it's $76 billion. That's without the fund shifts and without the tax increases that we have started last year. So $76 billion was exactly the revenues that were when I came into office in 2003. Now, the GDP then was $1.3 trillion. The GDP now is $1.85 trillion. So look at that increase over the last few years, but not when it comes to our revenues. So there is something wrong with our system. This is what I'm trying to tell people. This is the evil. Now, there will be people screaming for more taxes. We've done that. We've done that last year. We've done the biggest tax increase. The way we create the extra revenues that we need so badly is by stimulating the economy, by creating jobs, getting people to work so they pay taxes, and therefore we have more revenues. So the stimulating the economy, as I said, in my state of the state, maybe the deficit has changed. But my goal from the state of the state address in January has not changed at all, which is let's stimulate the economy and let's create the jobs. That's the important thing. Yes, please.
Budget reform this time around. In the past, you've proposed rainy day fund and, you know, bringing out the tax commission. Can you define what you hope to get in negotiations with the legislature?
I hope to look at the tax reform and what the bipartisan commission has presented, and they've laid it out. They've studied the subject very carefully, and I made it very clear to the legislative leaders that I'm not interested in just sticking with that formula, but that we should get together, we should study that, and we should go and have reforms based on that. because we need more stable revenues. We can't continue on like we have here with the income tax and capital gains tax that shoots up and down. We over 50% of our revenues come from income and capital gains tax. And that is very, very volatile. So as long as we fix that, we can never promise the people certain things. And we should be able to go and look at the people and say, you will have from now on your increase of education funding every year. We should be able to go and say this to the state employees. We should be able to say this for the in-home services, for everybody. If we start creating a straight line based on inflation and population increase, then we will be safe and we will always see increases. But if we see spikes in revenues and spend it all for ongoing programs and then promise based on that that this is what we're going to give you in the future, like with pension in 1999. I mean, things were promised that the stock market would be at 24,000 when in fact it's barely at 11,000. And that there will be investments that will bring in 8.5% and all of those kind of things. These are all crazy things that you can't promise. How can you guarantee those things? I mean, the pension system was fine, but they had to go and change it. And now we can pay for it. Now all of a sudden we're paying, the taxpayers are paying $6.2 billion in pensions. And now CalPERS has just asked us to pay an additional $600 million because they fell short with their investments. So this is we have to fix those things. So what I want to get out of it is to do the reform the taxes and let's have a rainy day fund. Because remember, just alone, if we would have a rainy day fund today, the 12.5% of our annual budget, when it was $100 billion, it would have been $12.5 billion. We would have divided that up into four, because let's say there's four problem years. We would have had every year $3 billion. And that would have been just enough to help our students in higher education a little bit. It would have been just enough to help so that we don't have to lay off that many teachers. It would have been just enough for law enforcement and enough for in-home services or some of those very important things. That's why Arkansas, President Clinton has talked about many times, you guys are crazy not to have a system in place like we have, that when you have a drop in revenues, you know exactly which programs you cut first. And which are the programs that are way down that will barely ever be cut? That shows priority. That state has priorities. But we just couldn't get that done. Yeah, please. Yeah.
Governor, how serious are you about eliminating CalWORKs? You proposed this once before. You did not eliminate it last time. Is this a starting negotiating point? And have you considered the impacts, cost shifts that this would push onto counties and local governments? And loss of federal funds?
Absolutely. We have spoken to the cities, to the counties. We have reached out to everybody. We made it very clear, including law enforcement, people from healthcare, education community. We have reached out to everyone to let everyone know. So this is not a surprise hit. It's not meant to be that, because in the end, we have to solve the problems together. We all have to come together in this. And so, you know, there will be, you know, the counties and cities, and they all will be suffering because of that. But the bottom line is yes, we have proposed it last year, and we negotiated, and throughout the negotiations, we then decided not to do it. I want to say also that last year, I hope that this year, we have the same kind of a collaboration between Democrats and Republicans as we had last year, because it was really remarkable of how both of the parties came together, and only because of that we were able to fix $60 billion in deficit. And this is why this Monday in Boston, they will get the Medal of Profile and Courage Award. Now, that comes from, as you know, the Kennedys. And for two Republicans to get from them, you know, the Medal of Profile and Courage is extraordinary. And there will be also the two Democratic leaders. But it is because they looked at the whole world of who has really been courageous to do things that they normally wouldn't do. And that's what it takes. You got to be very courageous to go and sit down and to solve those problems that we have here. And you have to go beyond your party rhetoric and all of this. And that's where I am. You know, I'm looking forward working with the Democrats on this. I'm looking forward working with the Republicans because it's really a major problem, and the only way we can do that is by us coming together and thinking about what is best for the state of California. And, you know, my budget, this is our version. Then they will get involved, legislators, and we all will be looking at each other's kind of way of looking at this whole thing.
And again, that was Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger at the press conference releasing his revised state budget on Friday, May 14th. And quickly here, a few comments, a few minutes from Daryl Steinberg, the Senate President Pro Tem. Safe to say there was really nothing in the governor's budget that the Democrats liked. They said it was a non-starter. It doesn't bode well for a short budget season here. And it's also worth pointing out, too, that the governor is throwing down the gauntlet about a lot of reforms in this budget. He's talked about that he needs budget reform, though it depends on what budget reform is. I think you'll hear in a moment Senator Steinberg have some ideas on a different kind of budget reform than the governor's talking about. And the governor also said he has to have a pension reform plan on his desk before he signs the budget. That is a really big project to have to tackle here in the middle of the budget season, especially in an election year and all of the other problems we've got. But let's hear from Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg.
I could speak for a long time about the past and where to point the finger. I could talk about sledgehammers and automobiles and torn up credit cards. I could talk about blowing up boxes. I could talk about one of many silly metaphors. But I will leave it at this. I am disappointed that the governor has chosen to surrender, that he sees California as unfixable, and that he proposes a budget that kills the economy and harms so many. It is a non-starter. If, God forbid, this budget became reality, California would be the only state in the union to not have a safety net for children. Leadership is not about blaming others. It's about finding solutions to tough problems to preserve the state and its people. In their comments throughout the day, the governor's representatives have described the cuts he proposes as, quote, terrible. I believe him. But his actions say it would be more terrible to delay $2.1 billion in corporate tax breaks than to save children, the elderly, and the most vulnerable. His actions say it is more terrible to avoid a tax on oil profits than complete elimination of county mental health services and child care. He appears to have decided that the solutions are too difficult to achieve, so he will accept these terrible cuts. We refuse to wave the white flag. California's elected leaders, including myself and the governor and the others, need to stand up. Given the choice between enacting $6 billion in cuts to services for the elderly, the children, and the disabled, or delaying corporate tax breaks, I'm for delaying corporate tax breaks. Given the choice between cutting education by nearly $3 billion or seeking revenues from oil companies extracting oil in California, I'm for getting revenues from oil companies profiting handsomely in this state. But I want to go beyond, I think, what you expect here, which is sort of the give and take and the recitation of our genuinely held beliefs and philosophy. I want to state my perspective on the overall situation very, very clearly. In my view, having now my 10th year in the legislature, second year as leader, having served on numerous budget conference committees, we have come to the end of trying to prop up this failed structure. There is no more triage. The status quo is unsustainable. Our government is not structured to quickly and effectively respond to an economic crisis of this magnitude. We are so balkanized that the people don't know who collects the taxes and who provides the services. Yes, we need revenue, and we will fight for revenue, but not to prop up this outdated structure. We must use this crisis now Not next year, not another report, not another study. We need to bring government closer to the people. The inside term is realignment. What it means to the people of California is that we must take many of these state programs that otherwise may be decimated and give them to the locals and the school districts, give them restored revenue and the ability to raise revenue themselves. This is not theory. This is not academic. This is not a luxury. Those who say too difficult, too complicated, I challenge you to do this. Bring forward an alternative that balances the budget, preserves essential public investments, and does not rely on gimmicks.
And that again was Daryl Steinberg, the president pro tem of the state Senate, in his opening comments to reporters on this Friday afternoon, responding to the governor's revised budget. A lot of work remains to be done. Again, we'll talk about this on the podcast more next week. But, you know, I have had several people around the Capitol think that this is going to be one of the longest, if not the longest, budget fight through the summer that California has seen. There are people who are even not joking, but kind of alluding to the fact that, you know, we might not have a budget until October because these are big problems. You know, we always have a bit of a, you know, a contest to see who will blink first sometimes in these things. You do sense that Governor Schwarzenegger feels as though maybe part of his legacy and part of his only power here is to demand reforms in exchange for his signature on a budget. And the real question that we don't know yet, maybe we'll know some about next week, is what the state's cash flow looks like under this budget. We've been told that the state probably has cash with no problem through August, but Comptroller John Chung needs to look at some of these numbers and get back to everyone next week. But, you know, come August, if there's no budget, you could be talking, who knows, IOUs possibly again, which is another whole big saga that we've lived through and we could be back at. So stay tuned. Anyway, as I said, an abbreviated podcast. Apologies for the delay and the abbreviation, but you got a little snippet of it here. And keep checking online through the blog and through Twitter and then, of course, on the radio and everywhere else that you normally do. And we'll keep putting out more information for you. I'm John Myers from KQED. We'll see you next time.